People are celebrating Christmas everywhere. The truth is, in our culture, it's turned into this almost month-long celebration that starts in December and is almost over. How many of you, just by a show of hands, have been to at least two Christmas parties already this year or more? Hold them up, everybody. All right. Most of you. We have office Christmas parties. Then you got your friends' Christmas parties. And then Christmas parties in your kids' classroom. How many of you have been to two or more Christmas events? Meaning like a special concert, a play. God forbid you had to go to one of those shows at your kids' schools where they sing and dance. I have three elementary age kids. I had to go to multiple nights of that. Now, my kids were awesome. Everybody else's kids need a little more work. But how many of you have been to at least two or more of those kind of things? Hold them up. Yeah, lots of us. And so here's the thing. The danger of this time of year is that in all the activity and busyness of Christmas, we can really miss the meaning and message of Christmas. That's why I'm so excited that you are here right now in this moment. Because we're going to talk about the meaning, the real message of Christmas. Now, the traditional Christian Christmas story comes from different places in the Gospels. The Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're four biographies that tell Jesus' life story from each of those guys' unique perspectives. And this is where we get the traditional Christmas story. And I want to begin by looking at some scripture. And what we're going to do to really unpack this meaning and message of Christmas is we're going to look at some scripture. Then you're going to hear another song. Then I'm going to come back and talk some more. And we're going to look at some kind of stories and illustrations. Then you're going to hear a great video story. Then we're going to talk a little more. Then we're going to end with another song. And all of it is going to point toward one single message and meaning of Christmas. So let's start by looking at scripture. Now, the one that we're going to look at might not be what you would think of when you think of the traditional Christmas story, because each of the Gospels takes a unique perspective. For instance, the Gospel of Luke, he takes the Christmas story perspective more from Mary. Then you have Matthew, who tells the Christmas story more from the perspective of Joseph. And then Mark, he skips the birth of Jesus altogether and jumps right to the baptism. I guess he thought the others had covered it well enough. And then you have the Gospel of John, and that's what I want to read. It's actually what we started the service with. And John takes like a 30,000-foot view of the birth of Christ. He gives us kind of a theological perspective of what was happening in the world when God became man that very first Christmas. But he does something else really interesting. He links the birth of Jesus in this world and also what was happening when Jesus was present at the creation of this world. And he says two things were happening both at creation and when God became man that very first Christmas. And I want you to see it. It's found in John chapter 1. He writes this: "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." Let's pause right there. The Word, capital W, is a title given to Jesus. And the word comes from a Greek word, logos, which means the voice or the meaning, that which gives meaning to all things. And so what John is telling us is that the pre-existent God, before there was time, before there was space, existed in perfect communion, perfect relationship with himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus was present at the creation of our world doing something that happened that very first Christmas night. Let's keep reading. It said, "God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never extinguish it." What John is saying happened on that very first Christmas and at the creation of the world is this: that Jesus brought life and light into our darkness. That's what Jesus did. He brought life and light into our darkness. And you don't have to be a Jesus follower to look at our world right now and say that there is some darkness still here. That darkness is still trying to overcome. I mean, just look at the wars in the Middle East and in parts of Africa where it's literally displaced tens of millions of refugees into Europe. There's a new terrorism story on the news almost every single week. It seems like darkness is trying to overcome and divide in our own country through the extreme kind of political positions and season that we just came through, and it's not over yet. And we can look at kind of the state that it's in, and it can cause fear. There's stories of hate crimes and shootings, and we can feel like, wow, the darkness is trying to overcome. And we need the life and light of Jesus more than ever before. And if you're here and you would look back at 2016 and say, like, there was some darkness in my life. Like I felt like there were some challenges. There was some oppression. There were some things trying to divide us in our home, in our family, in my marriage, in relationship between parents and children. And you would say that you felt some of that darkness. Here's what I would say to you today. I want you to know this Christmas that Jesus is the light of the world, and he is still pushing back the darkness. And he'll remove the darkness in our life if we will let him. We're going to share a song with you called Let There Be Light. And it speaks to what John is talking about here in chapter 1, what was happening that very first Christmas. And before you hear the song, I want to read verses 9 through 14. Here's what it says. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He, Jesus, was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Christmas is all about Jesus, that light of the world, bringing his life and light into our darkness, ultimately so that we could live life with God in this vibrant relationship where he is with us and we're aware of him in every moment of every day. That's available to every single one of us. But unfortunately, so many people settle for a much darker existence where they're either totally unaware of God, or the way that they approach God keeps them feeling disconnected and ultimately in their spirituality and in their faith, totally discontent. And the real meaning and message of Christmas is that we can all experience this life with God. But a lot of us settle for something much less. There are four dangerous approaches that I think we can easily fall into, and I know at different times in my life I have, that ultimately keep us disconnected and discontent in a relationship with God. And so before we really unpack this meaning and message of Christmas in a single thought, I want to share four approaches. And as I share them, I want you to consider how you have been living in your approach to God, kind of your operating system when it comes to God. And as we walk through these, see if you have, find yourself in any of them. The first one we're going to call, this is life over God. This is many people's approach to God. In this approach to God, God is pretty much invisible. Like, we're totally unaware of him in our day-to-day life. We are the center of the universe. We live on our terms, maybe a couple times a year, like this Christmas, maybe Easter, we're kind of aware of God and have a moment, but pretty much we do what we want, when we want, how we want, and we have life over God. That is this approach. And I would say that is probably the primary approach of most people in our world today, that they just live life over God, day-to-day life, totally unaware of him. Sadly, many Christians, Jesus followers, fall into this approach as well, because we compartmentalize our faith. And what we end up doing is we maybe have a moment on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever day it is that we go to church where we're kind of aware of God. But then when we're on our job, students, when you're at your school, when we're in our homes, parents, in our day-to-day life, in our neighborhoods, we're kind of not really aware of God, not aware that he is with us, not aware that he wants to do good things in us and ultimately through us to bless the people around us. And so we can fall into this approach where we just kind of live life over God. He's really just somebody that's invisible. Here's another approach. We're going to call this one life under God. You ever felt like that? Maybe 2016 was that for you. You just felt like everything that possible was bad was happening. You're like, God, why are you doing this to me? In this approach, God is a cranky dictator up in the sky who's just waiting to bring his wrath down on you. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. God is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He will find out who's naughty or nice. God is coming to town. This is the approach that so many people have, and it's actually what keeps them away from God, because they view God as this kind of cranky dictator just waiting to bring it down on you. I meet so many people over the years, like honestly, almost every single weekend at our church, who show up at the invitation of a friend. Maybe they got a flyer in the mail. Maybe they heard about it from a coworker. And they show up and they come up to me after and they say something like, man, that was so refreshing. Because and they're somebody that they hadn't been to church in years. Sometimes I talk to people who haven't been to a church in decades. Here's why. Because they grew up in a religious culture or a brand of church where it felt like this all the time. Life under God. Where God was just waiting, and it was legalistic, and the rules better be followed perfectly, because if you want God to bless you, you better toe the line, and if you don't, woo, he's coming down on you. Life over God. And here's what it does. It doesn't remove any fear. It actually keeps us in fear of the very person who said, perfect love casts out all fear. And so if this is your approach, the good news is there's a better way, but we're not quite there yet. Here's two other dangerous approaches. We're going to call this one life from God. And in life from God, God is kind of a divine vending machine giving us the things that we want out of this life. I mean, see the little arrow? Look at that person. How happy are they, right? Because they're kind of getting what they want from God. Kind of the most extreme edge of this approach when it comes to Christians and churches would be called, in kind of church world, the prosperity gospel. And prosperity theology is kind of the idea that if you give God 10 bucks, he'll give you back 100. It's kind of like a God Ponzi scheme. That's kind of what it is. And this is perpetuated by TV preachers who are wearing snappy suits and have big hair. This is just a sports coat and I just got mine cut, okay? Don't judge. I only wear this twice a year, Christmas and Easter, okay? And if you ever watch Christian TV, and I recommend you not, but if you ever do, most of the time, it is about this idea. It's all about life from God. And there's very little worship actually of God. It's about, hey, what can I get? And here's the problem with this approach. You're still the center of the universe. It's still all about you and your wants and your desires. And what this leaves you doing is continually searching instead of resting in this life with God. Here's another approach some people find themselves in. This one we're going to call life for God. And the idea here is that in this approach, God is a rigorous personal trainer. Who, you know, he's that personal trainer that drank about 8 too many Red Bulls before your training session. And he will not let you rest in between sets. No, one more set, one more rep. Come on, move on to the next thing. And by the end, you can't even walk, right? Like your muscles are so fatigued. And that's the view of God. It's like CrossFit for Jesus, 24/7, 365. I got to do more for God. And it's the idea that God only relates to us in a way that he wants to whip us into shape and get us serving him right so he can get us out there on his mission. Does God invite us to participate in his mission? Absolutely. But if this becomes the primary approach, let me tell you what this produces. This produces Christians that are really stressed out and that are really tired and who are doing a lot of things for God, but really hardly ever have time just to be with God. And honestly, this is the one I struggle with the most. This is the one that I can easily find myself finding my significance in the things I do for God. God, look at how busy I am for you. Look at all the stuff I'm doing for you. Rather than finding my significance simply in who I am in Christ. And here's the problem. In all four of these approaches, over, under, from, for, if these become the primary way that you think of God, approach him, and relate to him, these will actually drive you away from God himself and leave you feeling disconnected and leave you feeling discontent. But the good news of Christmas is that there is a better way. And the better way, the message of Christmas, What Christmas is all about is this: life with God. That's what Christmas is all about. It is all about life with God. And in this approach, God is a loving Father who is most concerned with relationship, which is why he sent his Son at just the right time in history to do what? To show us what real love looks like, to set up his kingdom, to shut down religion, man's attempt to get to God, and to save us from our sin. That's what Jesus came to do. And Christmas begins that journey that Jesus had, ultimately to save us from our sins by going to the cross, becoming sin for us. Why? So that we could have life with God. That's why he came. That's what this thing is all about. You see, the present of Christmas is all about the presence of Jesus. Let me explain it like this. How many of you are looking forward to getting one of these babies soon, all right? Let's be honest, don't act like you're not. Some of you are like, oh no, it's all about giving, whatever. We're all looking forward to this, right? I mean, it's nice to receive a present. But I want you to think about this. As you get older, like me, 31, that's not a joke. It's a lie. Anyway, as you get a little older, here's what you begin to realize, that the real present is the presence of the person who gave it, right? I mean, think about it. Why is it that you even give gifts in the first place? You give gifts because there is relationship there, right? You give gifts to people that you love. You give gifts to people that you're thankful for. You give gifts to people that are coming over to your house and now you're obligated, right? I mean, some of you, let's be honest, that's what you're doing tonight. But for the most part, we give gifts to people that we are in relationship with. That's what we do. And the real present of Christmas is God's presence in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the real present. The present is God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us, available to everyone because of his son Jesus. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 1. It says, or actually Matthew 1:23. This is the words of the angel when the angel appeared to Joseph. Said the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, everybody say these last four words out loud, ready, go. God is with us. He wants to be God with you. It's what Christmas is all about. You see, God is always near us. God is always for us. And if you let him, he will always be God in us. God with us. You see, what does God with us look like? Because that's just not kind of that's not a fancy theological thing. It's a real daily thing. You see, God with us means that we are aware of his presence at school, on our job, in our homes, that he is there to give us what we need. You see, a life with God has access to things like love when there should be hate, joy, when there is joy, when there can be, you know, anxiety and worry, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that are available to somebody who is with God through his Holy Spirit, which is in us. These are available to us. I want to share a story from two of our members. And I want you to listen to the change that happened in their life through some significant challenges as they learned how to live this life with God, a God who was strengthening them, comforting them, leading them, and guiding them. Watch this.
Haley was 18 months old and she got pneumonia, and her pediatrician called in a panic and said, "You need to go to the ER right now." So it was found out that Haley had basically a giant hole in her heart.
She was in the beginning stages of heart failure.
She was scared. It was probably the worst moment as a mother, watching your little girl fall asleep, knowing that she's gonna have open heart surgery.
The surgery was 9 hours of waiting.
I think it was the first prayer I had prayed in years. God, if you are real and if you are loving, please protect her.
We weren't in a relationship with God. It wasn't something we were looking for or searching after. But listening to all those other people praying around us, and like, I think it was in those moments, God was with us. She was knocked out for 9 days. The first word out of her mouth was juice.
She wanted juice.
I think in that moment it was like, she's awake, everything
yes.
is good. And
yeah, there was that
somebody
clip.
Get her juice. Yeah.
While Haley was still in the ICU, we actually found out that we were pregnant with the baby boy.
In that time frame, we slowly started getting back into church and attending Eastlake.
We were serving at the church,
mm-hmm.
and we were in growth groups. We had found a relationship with God. And then a few years later, we added another little girl. Obviously, everything we went through with Haley, all of our kids after her were checked while I was pregnant for heart defects. And Mia came back that the doctor's like, I think I see something. It's less severe than Haley. She too has holes in her heart. The day of surgery for Mia was totally different. We had our growth group come, I think in like 2 hour increments. I mean, they had it planned out to be there with us. Why, God? Really switched to how is God going to use us? And God has a plan for our family.
Yeah.
And we were almost excited to see what that plan was going to be.
Yeah.
Because we knew that we had a purpose.
We'd been home for a while. Things were good. Recovery was done. I had a job. Just life was rolling along smoothly.
We found out that Pastor Nathan and his wife Brooke were going to be planting a church.
It took a long way for them to decide and figure out that they were going to Temecula.
They asked if we would go with them. And we said no. That's ridiculous. We have a home here. We own our home here.
Our kids are in school.
Go to school right there. Our church family is here. Nathan and Brooke started doing interest meetings or launch group meetings. He made the right choice and asked us to go up for the first one.
We just thank you so much for all that we've seen you do.
Amen.
On the car ride home, I said, I love those people. Like, it instantly felt like home. Do you hear the saying of doing crazy things for God? But either you have never met anyone who's done something crazy, or you just don't ever think it's going to happen to you. It just so happens that we were in that position. He was not tied down anywhere for the first time in our whole marriage. The Navy wasn't telling us where to go. And we had a house that we could sell. And our kids, they're resilient, right? I mean, they can move. And the only reason for no was, again, just fear.
Thanksgiving of 2015, we moved. We brought this network, this DNA thing that we've been so a part of, and we just brought it here to Temecula. We're gonna continue to see people get baptized up here and take students to camp and watch 20, 30 of them give their lives to Christ.
From where we've been, and to wherever we're going, we have that faith that God is going to be with us through all of it.
A life with God offers peace, offers hope, offers strength, offers adventure. Now, I know not every story has a happy ending and a pretty little bow on it. And I know the Minky story, their kids still have some challenges as they're going to continue to grow up. And maybe challenges would be a good word to describe your 2016. That for you, the surgery didn't go well. The cancer didn't go away. Your loved one wasn't healed. And now here you are at Christmas, first Christmas without them. And if challenge and difficulty and maybe even the word darkness were to describe your 2016, I would want you to know this Christmas that he can be God with you. The message of Christmas is that we are not alone, that God is not distant, that he is not far away, that he is not unaware of what's going on in our life. He wants to be God with you. You see, Christmas begins what Easter celebrates, that this baby in a manger became a king on the cross, ultimately so that we could be saved from our sin and enter this life with God. We want to share one more song with you. It's called Emmanuel, God with Us. And I want to ask you to kind of do a little life check of your own. Have you been living life over God, life under God in fear of him? Maybe that's what kept you away from church for so long. Have you been living life from God, where if you're honest, you're following Jesus, but you're still the center of the universe? Or have you been living life for God, trying to find your significance in what you do instead of who you are in Christ? He is Emmanuel, God with us. And maybe you're here today and you just needed that as a reminder. You're a Jesus follower and you just needed to be reminded what Christmas is all about. Or maybe you're here and this would be new information to you, that you would go, man, I didn't know that he came to be God with me. And I would ask you and pray that during this next song, you would just simply open your heart and in your way say, God, I want you to be God with me. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this great reminder we get in our culture every year, Christmas. And help us to remember the real meaning and the real message that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And would you help us live that out a little better in 2017? Would we be aware of you daily? Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you fill us with hope? Would you give us courage? Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us strength? We open our lives to you today and your good work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.